Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 15th, 2013.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Possibly the earliest ancestors of camels were originally adapted for living in a northern forested environment.
Flowers being equal in all respects, but the electric field will actually attract the bees differentially.
Calcium copper silicate is really distinctive because it contains only naturally abundant elements.
This week, an ancient pigment with futuristic applications, the hidden electricity between flowers and bees, and a new improved anti-fog coating. But first, Suzanne Bard tells us about the unlikely history of camels.
Most people think of camels as well adapted to their desert habitat. Their fat-storing humps help them survive the lack of food, and extra-wide hooves make it easier to walk on sand. But the recent discovery of ancient camel fossils in the high Arctic is forcing paleontologists to rethink the origins of these archetypal traits. Natalia Rybczynski of the Canadian Museum of Nature says the fossils date back 3.5 million years to when the Arctic was covered in boreal forest.
Possibly the earliest ancestors of camels were originally adapted for living in a northern forested environment, and that some of the traits like the hump were actually originally specializations for surviving through the winter.
Wide hooves would have made it easier to walk on snow, and excellent night vision would have been useful for enduring months of Arctic darkness. She adds that the Arctic camels were 30% larger than their closest living relative, the dromedaries. Camels originated in North America around 45 million years ago.
And from there, you had like 90 species that evolved over time. And for about 40 million years, they were confined to North America. And then about 6 or 7 million years ago, you have the first evidence of a member of this group outside of North America. And then, you know, sadly, all the forms in North America went extinct, which is really too bad because it would have been really fun to be able to see camels in our forests. But they all went extinct. And so then we're only left in the Old World and in South America.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. 5,000 years ago, the ancient Egyptians made a breakthrough in material science. They created the first artificial pigment, known today as Egyptian blue. Now, scientists have discovered that the pigment has properties that could be useful in modern electronics. Correspondent Justin Warner explains.
The granddaddy of all artificial dyes is called Egyptian blue, a rich azure pigment created about 5,000 years ago. University of Georgia chemist Tina Salguero and her colleagues recently studied Egyptian blue's key ingredient, calcium copper silicate, on the nanoscale. They found that it's actually composed of incredibly thin sheets, which have useful optical properties.
They emit radiation in the near-infrared region. So this is an area of the spectrum that we can't see by human eye, but it's used for telecommunications and other applications.
Although many kinds of near-infrared emitting materials are used today, they contain so-called rare earth ions, which are relatively difficult to obtain and in dwindling supply.
The calcium copper silicate is really distinctive because it contains only naturally abundant elements, such as calcium, copper, silicon, and oxygen. So it potentially could be a much more inexpensive material.
Besides telecommunications, Salguero says the material may also be useful for biomedical imaging, security inks for paper money, and other applications.
Thanks, Justin. Bees and flowers have evolved a mutualistic relationship over millions of years. But scientists have overlooked one of the key elements that's kept the electricity in their relationship until now. Suzanne has that story.
Bright, colorful flowers attract bees, which pollinate them in exchange for nectar. But if a bee lands on a flower that has been temporarily depleted of its nectar by another bee, it may fly away in frustration. Now, scientists have discovered that small electric fields around flowers may help guide bees to the ones that actually contain nectar at any given time.
Flowers being equal in all respects, but the electric field will actually attract the bees differentially. That means bees will be more interested in the presence of an electric field rather than the absence of one.
But once the bee lands, its own electric field resets that of the flower.
When they land on the flower, they will change the potential of that flower. It's as if they were leaving an electric footprint.
That tells other bees to wait until the flower builds up both voltage and nectar before visiting it again.
And that actually also is good for the flower because more bees will come later and take some more pollen away. Our research doesn't prove, but suggests that the equalization of potential between bees and their flowers may play a role in optimizing the search strategy of the bee.
He says understanding the electrical communication between flowers and bees could hold some lessons for agriculture, which depends to a large degree on pollination.
Thanks, Suzanne. Windshields, eyeglasses, and camera lenses have fought a long, hard battle with a simple enemy, fog. But engineers at MIT, including materials scientist Michael Rubner, have announced a breakthrough in anti-fog technology. Rubner explains that today's anti-fog materials are vulnerable to frost, which has a similar effect.
In other words, imagine you're wearing your glasses and you're outside on a very cold, wintry day and you go into a humid environment. You'll actually get frost forming on the surfaces of your lenses. And most anti-fog coatings, based on the way they work, would not be able to prevent that.
His team's material not only absorbs small water droplets, as today's anti-fog coatings do, but also prevents the trapped droplets from freezing. It also acts as a repellent to larger droplets, so they roll off the surface. Rubner says it's well-suited for eyeglasses, camera lenses, and car windows. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have more thrilling science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long for your next science fix, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.